Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Elodie.
Well, normally on Wednesdays, we have Wendy Wilson joining us. We rescheduled her for tomorrow. She's going to join me for the first 20 minutes of the program on Thursday. As earlier in the day, I got a phone call from Greg Hunter, and he wanted to know if it would be possible for him to join us this afternoon. And so Wendy was gracious enough to change her time with us, and so we have Greg Hunter joining us this afternoon, about 10 minutes after the top of the hour, which we're already at 4:03. So let me get to the market reports so we can get them prior to our guests joining us. We have an interesting day in the markets today. You know, the European markets fell heavily after the China's correction of their currency. I shouldn't say correction, but their manipulation. Yeah, it's really, to me, it's not a revaluation. They manipulated it down a couple percentage points, and it certainly has wreaked havoc in the world markets. But gold was a recipient of good favor because of that. It was up $15 today at $1,124.70. Off the high of 11.26. Silver was up 17 cents today at $15.63. Platinum was up $12 at $1,003. Palladium was up 26 at $630. So, of course, we did see a pressure on the U.S. dollar today. It's actually come back from its low. We're currently down 0.92 at 96.27. Crude oil also had a little bit of a reversal, not much, 0.31 at 43.39. And it always amazes me, they brought out the plunge protection team in quantity today. We had almost 300 point to the downside most of the day, a couple of hours prior to the 4 o'clock end of the market trading. They were able to bring the Dow back basically flat, 17,402. A couple times I saw it in the positive area right before Al and I were talking prior to the program, and now it's looking, you know, some couple ticks going through down 0.33. The NASDAQ is up 7 at 5,044, and the S&P up 2 at 2,086. 10-year yield, 2.13%. and the euro, of course, is stronger, 1.16 higher at 1.12. And the European markets certainly did get battered in trading overnight. You have Germany down 3.25%, 356 points down. That's what our stock market should have been, down much more than, you know, being able to be flat for the day. Hong Kong was down 2.5%, London was down 1.5%, Japan was down a little over 1.5%. So a lot of action in the markets, and but plunge protection team did a good job today. They were able to bring her back.
And that ticks you off, doesn't it, Melody?
No, it doesn't. I mean,
yeah, it does. That's why they call it the ticker. It's because it ticks people off. That's
what
happens.
Is that
what
it is?
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
You know, it's not right. It's rigged. You know, people have, you know,
within
they
limits.
Know what's going to happen, and you know, let it go where it should be. And
but you know, this has been, so far, it's been an interesting week for gold after having considerable amount of trouble over the last couple of months and whatever. We're $30 up for the week, aren't we?
Oh, thereabouts.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
I think we had a $5 up day and a $9 and change day, and now $15 day. We're up $30 for the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Well, not quite.
It's good. Well, maybe not, but compared to what we were doing, it's good news.
Well, we'll have to see if it holds, but I do think, as I mentioned before, we have a very active month, and August is always a very volatile month for the markets, which is usually positive for gold. And but this is the beginning of something, the start of something, and this is what Greg Hunter wanted to talk about today. And I think that's him calling now, but if you could just take it away, Al, for just a few seconds, please.
The big news today is an expansion on the consequences of the Chinese devaluation of their currency.
You can't hear much on the line?
You know, they did it on Tuesday and the Tuesday market. They thought that was kind of interesting and people talked about it, but now they're looking at it from a perspective exaggerated.
All right.
And they're telling people, oh my gosh.
Okay.
So we're going to talk to Greg today and find out whether Greg believes this is big news or does he believe it's news. We'll see. I'm not sure if Greg is there yet. I can hear Melody. She appears to be fixing something, maybe mechanical. Is Greg here?
No. Oh, he is.
All right. This is Greg Hunter.
Can you not hear me before?
Nope. Couldn't hear you before. Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com.
We're good. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Are we in a commercial or what? I can hear you now. Thank you for joining us today, Greg.
Oh, and, we're on the air. Okay, it's good to be here.
Yes.
And I assume the main thing you wanted to talk about, you may have a number of things you want to talk about, but the Chinese devaluation of the yuan, I'm going to guess, is the focus of what you'd like to talk about today. True?
Well, that's a big bell ring, I think. That's just a huge ding, 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 ding. I mean, yes, it is true. Yes, that's one of the things I want to talk about, yes.
All right. Well, let's start with that. I've got an article here from Reuters. Says China devaluation sparks fear of currency war, angers U.S. lawmakers.
Of course.
It makes me laugh on one level, just because our government has been manipulating currency probably throughout my lifetime, and now they're complaining that China's manipulating currency. But in any case,
have these people not heard of the Exchange Stabilization Fund?
Well, you're talking about the
U.S. government's Exchange Stabilization Fund. We're talking about other people manipulating currencies. Please stop.
Yeah, I understand.
You know.
Well, you've had an opportunity to talk to a couple of different people. You were talking to, I can't even see the name right here.
Andy Hoffman yesterday.
Andy Hoffman.
And Bill Holder.
Yeah. Andy Hoffman and Bill Holder, both of which knowledgeable and... You know, what do they think is happening here?
China's, let's start with China. I have a friend of mine living there, actually. He has had a master's in finance, and he teaches over in some of the Chinese universities. And when the Chinese stock market went into free fall, you know, there was this, you know, this possible, maybe the government is pushing it. And he actually came onto my website, and I know who he is. And yeah, I know he's living there. I know him. He's a good friend of mine. And he says, no. This is so leveraged. This is so cuckoo crazyville. You know, such a bubble that no. I mean, and if they did, they didn't have to do much to get it to crash because it was going to crash anyway. And so, but the other thing is that, you know, the production in China is terrible. I mean, you know, the economic news, the shipping news, the, you know, any metric you'd like to see, their economy is contracting. They say they're growing, but, you know, who, you know, this is a communist government.
They say they've
right?
got 1,000 tons of gold, too.
Well, they, yes. That. Yeah, they, some people think they got about just, if you just did it conservatively, they really have about 10,000 tons.
Yeah.
And it came out, and they also think that, that they just lied about, they came out and said they had 1,600 tons, and then they came out and said they had six, they got 600 tons, they got a few more. They didn't come out and own up to much. But their economy is in trouble, and I think they kept their yuan high, their RMB high, their currency, because they wanted to get into the IMF. Well, what's the IMF said, yeah, we're going to put this off for a year. They just went, okay, well, we can't wait a year. And, you know, we want to have, you know, all parties equal, and we want to, that's what the IMF would be. If they got into the IMF, there's your world reserve, there's your one world currency, probably was the outrigger to that. I don't know if it would last, but they wanted in the IMF, and the IMF said, yeah, into the SDR special drawing rights, and they didn't get in. And they said, we'll consider it next year. Well, that doesn't mean that it's a lock. They didn't make a time for it to actually get in. So, you know, when they cut their currency, which they cut it again last night, I mean, now they're down, I don't know, something like 4%. And they are, you know, they're in trouble. I mean, their economy, it sounds like a panic to me that they make a big, huge move like this in their currency. It just sounds like a huge panic, and that the real underlying numbers, whether it be shipping or whether it be, you know, the production numbers or whatever, they're in a panic. And they're not going to, they can't wait a year. They can't let the thing, they've got all these, you know, Andy Hoffman was saying, I mean, if you think the Fed is powerful, well, the China, People's Bank of China is also very, very powerful. And they're making some big moves, and the reason why they're making moves is their economy is in trouble. Well, you keep hearing the Federal Reserve say, we're going to raise rates, we're going to raise rates. Really, we're going to raise rates. How long have you heard that for? At least the last couple of years. We're going to raise rates, you know, back in the beginning of this year. We're going to raise rates about June. Well, June's come and gone, and what do we got? Nothing. And then we're going to raise rates in September. You know, then you have the IMF warning Christine Lagarde, the managing director, saying don't raise rates. You know, the reason why is the world economy is not doing well. We are truly globalized, and we are globalized in a way that is that we, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, Argentina could implode and everybody would just shake it off. But now you can't have, a country, you know, implode without it ripple affecting around the country. You could even have Greece implode, you know, a country of 10 million people without affecting the rest of the 7 billion people on the planet. Well, this move by China is greater and more powerful by orders of magnitude than we even thought about with Greece. It's a huge deal. And it's going to force the Fed to say, yeah, that interest rate, yeah, we're not going to do that. They, you know, a lot of people talking there could be a U.S. currency devaluation this fall. The one thing's for sure, they're not going to raise rates unless they want the economy to crash.
Well, I understand. I mean, I'm surprised that they've allowed the dollar to rise as much as it has on the U.S. dollar index over the last 18 months. Came up close
that
to 100.
That was one of the things we talked about.
80 up to almost 100 in a matter of something like 15 months. And
which is a huge move for a currency in a short amount of time.
It's also evidence of deflation, at least on the international level, which is typically deflation is usually a hallmark of economic recession or even depression. And they've allowed that to happen. They've had inflation all my life. They want inflation, so far as I'm able to see. And yet we've
and
allowed.
And guess what happened with all the QE3 gains that they had? That they you know were trying to get the markets to take off and they're trying to get some organic growth. Mm-hmm. And they thought they could, you know, Paul Craig Roberts said this, you know, in my day we'd step on the gas pedal for, you know, 3 or 6 months and we'd let off and it would be fine. Well, we've been stepping on the gas pedal since effectively, since the crash. We've been stepping on the gas pedal. And go ahead.
Well, we avoided the crash. We avoided a real crash.
We've
got to get credit
it.
For that, but they have not been able to stimulate the economy. The result has been more or less stagnation. Some people
they didn't avoid it; they
that.
Postponed it.
Yeah, I agree.
They postponed it. They put off the inevitable, which makes the inevitable certain. And they couldn't fix it. They didn't fix it. And they should have fixed it, but it would have been painful. Lloyd Blankfein wouldn't be a billionaire right now. He'd be like, you know, at the front of a Walmart being a greeter. He wouldn't be a billionaire right now, Lloyd Blankfein. He should have been fired from his job after the AIG thing. I mean, anytime you're a corporate executive and you need a government bailout to save your company, you are an abject failure. You're an investing failure.
I agree. It's not evidence of sound management skills to be saved by the government. The stockholders will say, yay, the corporation is solvent, but truth of the matter is it shouldn't have been in the bind in the first place if it was properly managed. They've been saved by the government, which is, it's like being on welfare. It does not bode well for your future.
Well, and then let's look at this currency devaluation. So China's, you know, what, the number one, depending on which metric you'd like to use, number one or number two world economy. And now let's get back to the real thing, a devaluation of the currency, which Andy Hoffman said they just went nuclear. Of course they did. And because nobody's going to be able to support their currency, nobody's going to raise rates, the Fed can't raise rates, and so they're going to likely an all-out devaluation of the currency, and boy, everybody loved bonds in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s as rates went down. And there's a couple of ways to win with bonds. You lock in a higher interest rate, rates go down in a declining interest rate environment. So you lock in that higher rate, rates go down, the value of the bond goes up, it's uberly liquid, you got a 5% rate, bonds rates go down to 3%. You say, hey, I can sell this rate, woohoo, I want more than a par. I want 120, 30 bucks. You know, I want 30% over par or 40% over par. I want big money for this. You can't get a 5% bond. You know, you can only get a 3% bond or whatever. Well, the inverse has happened. We're down at the bottom now.
Yeah.
So now you have these crappy rates, and then if you want to try to get out of it, you don't, and rates do end up going up. At some point, the bond market, Fed won't set rates. The bond market will price money eventually. Okay.
I agree.
Then you lose money, all your 2% bonds. When you have a 3% bond that's offered, I don't want that unless you discount it heavily. Then that's the opposite happens. But then here's the other triple whammy on that. This is the double whammy on that, is that all of a sudden you're in an environment where what you're getting paid back in, you know, bonds, it's just a big ball of whatever currency that bond is issued in. In the dollar case, it's just dollars. Well, as long as they were threatening to raise rates, they were protecting the currency in which that bond was paid in, and they were protecting if they didn't raise rates, they protected the bonds. Everybody was just heading in this kind of holding pattern. Well, now it looks like there's going to be a currency war, a global. And holy smokes, everybody is looking at the dollar like, well, what are they going to do? They're going to eat this? What's the dollar going to be, 120, 130? I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, half of our business around the world, our corporate business is done in dollars. They don't want a high dollar. I even talked about this with Catherine Austin Fitz.
They may not be able to survive a high dollar. Our government is deeply in debt. The higher dollar makes it harder to pay the debt. It puts them under the biggest debtor in the world. Right? The high dollar
could be
the government to a significant degree. Let's talk more about that when we return in a moment. We've got to take a commercial break right now. We're here with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg has some of the best interviews you can find on the internets. Talk about politics, economics. He's got some heavy hitters that he interviews on a regular basis. Again, USAWatchdog.com. We're talking about the implications of China devaluing the yuan, not just on Tuesday, but again on Wednesday. As you're pointing out, you know, they did this and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to devalue this thing by about 2%. They knocked it down 1.9%, my understanding, on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, which is much earlier for them than it is for us, as I understand it, they knocked it down another 1.6% is what I've heard. So now we've got 2 days of currency reductions, devaluations. Is that evidence to people? I mean, what are they doing here, Greg? Are they not in control? They tried 1.9%, didn't work, and they said, we got to give it another 1.6. Are they stepping on gas, or is there? What can we expect for tomorrow?
The broad strokes. Whatever you thought about China, they're in much worse shape than what most people want to believe.
Yeah.
Period. I think it's a panic move. And, you know, again, how did they get all those dollars to lower their yuan? Selling treasuries? So this is a big move. And this is a big sea change, and it's going to require a reaction. And my bet is, unless they intentionally want to crash the economy, I had Nomi Prinz on, and she gave a speech to the IMF, World Bank, and the Fed. Okay, the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and the Fed. And she said, listen, if you raise, you're in a real bad position, because if you don't do anything, eventually this thing implodes. And if you do raise rates, even a quarter of a point, a half a point, you'll be 500 points in the stock market in a, you know, a heartbeat. the market will crash. So if they raise rates, they'll increase the value of the dollar, and my guests have been saying they won't be able to do it. One for a while said they may have to do it for credibility's sake, but that's all out the window now. They don't want to see the dollar increase in value more. They want the dollar to, we're in a currency war, and everybody's trying to lower their currency for competitive advantage. And then we have all these multinational companies doing half their business outside the U.S. Well, high dollar kills them.
You know?
So this is a ugly, ugly, every man for himself scenario here.
Is
and
anyone in
going
control?
To be a, I don't,
anyone,
I think they're going to, go ahead.
Is anyone in control?
Now, they're in control, but they're, you know, it's like being in control of a plane that's losing altitude. If when you're 20,000 feet, you got lots of options, okay? When you're at 15,000 feet, you still have pretty many options. When you start getting around 3,000 or 4,000 feet and you're descending and you can't keep it in the air, this is what I suspect. They're going to look for some way to control the crash. They're going to look for a highway. They're going to look for a field. They're going to try to, you know, stay away from the side of a mountain. And at some point, they're going to try to control the crash.
And try
now,
to,
are we at
try
that
to,
point?
Try to find somebody to blame also.
Well, yeah, you already have John Kerry saying in Congress, let's fast forward to that, you know, that are saying in a, you know, making statements saying, well, if we don't sign this Iran nuclear deal, we'll lose reserve currency status. What? Excuse me? You know all about currency? We're going to lose our reserve currency status? Meanwhile, John Kerry, you testified in front of Congress and you said you don't have access to the side deals that are with the UN inspectors. Well, let me get this straight now. John Kerry, Secretary of State, the key architect of the Iran deal, and the key point of the Iran deal is inspections, and you have no idea, you don't have any access to the side deals. Yet, you are all about currency, and if we don't sign this deal, if Congress doesn't vote on this deal and say yes, and with Chuck Schumer saying no, that's a big hurdle to the Obama administration. And because they're going to get enough votes to dunk it, and then Obama's going to veto it. And the only question is an override of the veto. But you know all about currency, which is, I think is a blaming. They're already putting the blame out there that the Republicans are going to be the reason why that we have a bad economy because they voted down the Iran deal. They know what's coming, Alfred. They know what's coming.
Understand. I think everybody
understands.
Point,
they're going to look for somebody to blame. It's going to be the Republicans, because they haven't been in control for the last, 6-7 years. Mostly it's been the Democrats in Congress with both houses and then the Democrats with just the Senate. And now the Republicans have the House and the Senate, but they haven't really done much. I mean, Republicans are so pissed, they're liking Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was just telling people.
So, but to your point, that's a blaming thing. He's already setting up the blame game for the Republicans. They voted this. Well, we had a currency crisis because the Republicans. That's what they're blaming. They're already doing that. And so that's unbelievable.
That's evidence that they
trouble.
Think it's
we're
inevitable.
In trouble. This is a big deal. This got hyperdrived. And it's all going to come down to, you know, if they devalue everybody's currency around the world and all these bonds are paid in currency, no matter whether it's a bond in real or a bond in euros or a bond in yuan or a bond in dollars or whatever, and if we have a currency war where everybody wants to devalue their currency so they can maintain what little left of the economy they have in their country, then those bonds, oops, that's not an asset now, is it?
One of the things that we have a problem with, though, is that the entire world can't devalue its currency. Because, for example, what we're dealing with right now is China's devaluing the yuan in relationship to the U.S. dollar. All right? But the dollar goes up. There's a teeter-totter effect here, and if the one end goes down, in that particular relationship, this is not the same as the U.S. dollar index, which doesn't include the yuan, but within the dollar and yuan, we've got a teeter-totter relationship. If the dollar goes up, the yuan goes down. If the yuan goes up, the dollar goes down. But the problem is, and the point I'm trying to make here, is we can't devalue both the yuan and the dollar at the same time.
They strengthened at the
Somebody
same time.
Somebody has got to get stronger. If this currency is going down, the other currency, some other currency, has got to go up. Otherwise, what does this mean? We can't all go down at the same time.
And that brings us to September. And can't we just unilaterally devalue our dollar? Can't we just say we're going to have a 30% cut? We're going to devalue our dollar? Can't we do that?
We can. I don't doubt that it can be done, but it can be done unilaterally. All right, in the same sense that maybe China is doing this unilaterally, but it's going to make people.
Well, they're selling bonds now. Remember that they have all these bonds. They have a way to. They have a way to push the markets around. You know, this is why our what was it? Dempsey, National Security, our Joint Chiefs of Staff? I think it was Dempsey. Could have been somebody else, but Dempsey said that China having all this debt was a national security issue. Look, yeah, it is. They start selling our treasury bonds. Who bought those? Who liquefied
that
market? I don't know.
We? Did we?
Well, let's see. Who owns those bonds?
Well, I don't know.
Who issued the bonds?
The United States and or the Federal Reserve.
Oh, yes. And they'd have to liquefy. So they'd have to, wouldn't they have to buy those if they would create their, this is what Bill Holter was talking about, they could create their own exit. They could just start selling bonds, and they either the U.S. would default on them, which they're not going to do, or they could just liquefy them, and, you know, the Fed would be printing money in hyperdrive, and you can't audit the Fed, so you don't know what they're doing. They say they have $4.5 trillion on their balance sheet. It could be $8.5 trillion, for all you know. You don't have any idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so the thing is that this – go ahead.
I got a question. Well, you were talking about how if the Chinese currency gets stronger, you have the teeter-totter effect, but yet in order to devalue their currency, Greg is saying that they've been dumping the treasuries, which is why maybe we saw the pressure on the dollar, so they could continue to devalue their currency by dumping treasures, but it wouldn't necessarily make our dollar stronger.
It makes it stronger in relationship to the yuan, but it does not make the dollar stronger in relationship to the six foreign currencies that make up the other side of the U.S. dollar index. It doesn't show them the dollar
index. We only do 1% business in China.
Right.
We only do 1% of our – they only buy 1% of our products. So the loss of the increase in dollar currency for them is not a big deal. It's 1% is what I read, about 1%. So it's not really a cost. Now, their Asian trading partners and the BRICS and all that, well, India and Russia in the BRICS, you know, there's no honor among thieves. They're pissed. They're like, well, you just screwed us. So India and Russia, who are the other big components of the BRICS countries, they're not liking this. But what we have is a very unstable system, and I want people to come back to focus on everybody's bonds. Everybody, you know, everybody said we printed money. No, we printed bonds. Everybody printed crazy amount of bonds. And they're going to devalue those bonds when they devalue their currency. And we're going to find out that these bonds, because the bond market is the Mac Daddy, the granddaddy of them all. The debt markets around the world. And when they start devaluing currencies around the world, they devalue the bonds around the world. Forget about even raising interest rates. They devalue what you get paid back in. And we're going to find out that these bonds are not an asset. They are a liability. And that's why
they're not worth if a bond is denominated for $100,000, just as a hypothetical example. When they devalue, you're going to get maybe, who knows, $20,000, $50,000
for that bond?
You're not going to get $100,000 out of it.
No, you're going to
be badly, and those
bond,
who invested in it are going to watch their wealth disappear. Some portion.
If they can even liquefy it. And here's the other question: if they can liquefy it,
yeah,
that's the problem.
You mean
the
if they can find anyone to buy it without dropping the price?
Or somebody would just say, "Sorry, we're not cashing that out until for another 5 years." Sorry, you got to hold that.
I understand.
I mean, what? Then if they're not cashing it, you certainly can't take it and trade it somewhere. So,
you know, it's one of those things. You just look at it and you shake your head, and it's almost like, what fools these mortals be? How did we get into this mess? I mean, this is almost, if it wasn't real and global,
we got into this
it's almost like a Three Stooges movie.
It is like a Three Stooges movie.
How did we get into this mess?
no, in 2008, they should have taken this thing and controlled the crash when they had enormous money printing ability. I mean, as far back as December of 2011, it was Professor Ray, W-R-A-Y, I believe his name, in University of Missouri, Kansas City, and said they had spent $29 trillion. This was his marker at December of 2011. They spent, you know, Kevin Austin Fitz says, I think they printed about $40 trillion or transferred or whatever, 40. So listen, it would have cost us $6 trillion to insure every bank account, no matter what. And then the bonds would have taken a haircut, and there had been Norbert Blankfein, when I say so started out, would not be a billionaire. But see, this only helped a few people. We imperiled the country for stupid things. You know, the dollar would have skyrocketed. Yeah. Melody, your business would have been, you'd have been by yourself selling coins likely. There have been a lot of losers if they'd have done it my way, but the country would have done well. They did it their way, and your business is pretty good. I mean, yes, the price of gold has been thumped down because they have manipulated it, but, you know, there's big demand for gold and silver, especially with the manipulation. But then the reason why people are running into gold and silver is because they know what I'm telling about the bonds and the paper. The paper's no good. You got a big, this Chris Martins had told me this, and I don't know if I said this, if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, but this is a good point. And the point is this. We had a big stack of paper in 2008 and a small little stack of assets in 2008. And since 2008, we grew that stack of paper, bonds, money, printed. We grew that stack of paper, derivatives. We grew it, jacking the beanstalk high. But the little pile of assets didn't grow. We didn't mine that much more gold. We don't have that much more diamond. We haven't created that many more works of art. We certainly haven't created any more land. We did pump some more oil, but that got used up. And so you got this huge stack of paper, and there's going to, at some point, people are going to run out of that stack of paper and try to put it into something real. And that's when the you see the musical chairs, and you find out a lot of people are going to have no chair. They're not going to have any assets to put it into. And that's what the gold and silver, I think, is front-running this trade, and it's front-running a devaluation, a currency calamity. We're going to have deflation. David Stockman, who I booked in a few weeks, he talks about the Great Deformation. That's his book, and basically what that is that all this capital, all these bonds are going to deform. They're going to go away. They're not going to get paid. This is debt that can't be paid. These bonds. I got a bond. Yeah, well, you're not going to get paid on it. And that includes the treasuries at some point, even though it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. They can't pay it all off. We're accruing debt at an astronomical rate, not $400 or $500 billion a year, according to John Williams. If you count everything, it's $5 or $6 trillion a year. $400 or $500 billion is what I meant to say. It's accruing at $5, $6, $7 trillion a year. That is not sustainable. We can't. They aren't trying to fix this. They don't want to fix this. They were just buying time to prepare themselves for whatever. They know it. And that's what most people can't do. Oh, the government would never do this. No, heck no. If they would have taken the hit back in 2008. Big money players, if they would have done what I said, the Lloyd Blankfein wouldn't, there you go, wouldn't be a billionaire. He just became a billionaire. So all these players wouldn't have taken the hit. They transferred the hit instead of corporations. Now they've transferred it to governments. Mm-hmm. So now we, the people of the world, will take a hit. That's the big picture.
Yeah,
and just people just don't have any
idea
that
they're... It's the way it always works out. It's the way it always works out. When they say buy when the blood is running in the streets, it'll be the little people's blood.
It'll be the
little
people's blood.
It'll be the small timers. They're the ones that'll be running in the street. It's time to buy.
Well, there'll be some big people.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials, and we'll be back with Greg Hunter on financial survival in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com and one of the best sites on the internet to find intelligent, in-depth interviews on subjects that are important to all of us. Stop in and visit USAWatchdog.com. I've got an idea, Greg, that just crossed my mind while we're talking. We're mentioning that they should have done the right thing in 2008. All right, they've had opportunities to correct this problem, and they haven't done it. And what crosses my mind is the possibility that the reason they don't do the right thing is that we are in an almost perpetual election cycle in this country. When I was a kid, people ran for president maybe 6 months before the election, or at least that's the way it seemed to me. Right now, the election, it starts at least 18 months before the actual election, the election process. We have, you got one, every 2 years, we've got maybe 6 months off, no election talk, and then it starts building for 18 months. So what I'm trying to get to is this. Because the election cycle is becoming almost a full 2 years, we're at least 18 months, in my opinion, and it might be going. Are the politicians just afraid to do the right thing because it will hurt and it will be held? They'll be held accountable for it in the election cycle, this more lengthy election cycle. Does that make any sense to you, or do you think that's a bad idea?
It's who pays the politicians who are going to take a big chunk and smack and hit. And instead of them taking a big hit, because what we had in 2008, we had companies like Goldman Sachs and AIG and Lehman Brothers and Wachovia, which went under. And, you know, these are companies that got into trouble. We transferred that to governments. We transferred all that to America and Greece and Germany and, Spain. And we transferred all this stuff to France. And we did all the debts got end up in these Euro bonds and Treasury bonds and the bailouts were huge. I mean, and we really got on the hook, the U.S., because the author of Currency Wars, Jim Rickards, he said that, you know, we have tens of trillions of dollars over there in Europe. They didn't even ask about that in Congress. So the people who pay the politicians are the ones who orchestrated this little disaster. And it far, far worse, because now governments are going to go under, like Greece, like Puerto Rico. I mean, Puerto Rico is a huge story. I mean, they owe 70-something billion dollars. You have this thing, well, they're only a small portion of certain bond funds and blah. Whoa, this is an entity of the United States. This is like the 51st state of the United States going bankrupt. That'd be like, Rhode Island going bankrupt. This is huge.
Or so Chicago or Detroit.
Yes, I mean, Detroit, yes, that's another, but oh man, Detroit had, what, $20 billion in bad debt, and they got 70-something mm-hmm. billion? That's by orders of magnitude worse.
Yeah.
And, Chicago just borrowed some more money, the city of Chicago. Well, I can't believe that. That it's basically an entity that changed nothing, that has all these pension obligations and all these obligations and horribly run by Rahm Emanuel, because they, socialists, communists, I don't even call them Democrats, they're socialist communists. They just run things into the ground, vote for me and I'll set you free, and then it all implodes, and then they blame the other party. This is what Kerry's doing. This is why I think this is a big tell. This is a big tell, this thing with the China. It's all going to come down to real stuff. And that was the thing that Andy Hoffman said. Of course, now he sells gold, but it's not even gold. It's that the title of your car, the title of your house, whether you got food, whether you have supplies that you can cushion yourself from, the coming devaluation. If China keeps doing what they're doing, that's gonna have which is devaluing their currency. They may devalue it more. I mean, who knows? They're getting rid of treasuries. Hello? We have to liquefy those. We, as in the Federal Reserve,
and by liquefy, you mean redeem them.
Yes,
mean
we have to give them dollars.
Redeem... Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Or default.
Well, I understand, but insofar as long as we can print dollars, in theory, we can redeem them, even though the dollar is so inflated that it's only worth a dime.
Well,
we can theoretically redeem these things. What it reminds me of is the idea that a lot of corporations are repurchasing their own stock, borrowing money from the banks, going out and buying their own stock. Is there a similarity between the government borrowing money from the Federal Reserve to go out and buy its treasuries back? Is it doing the same thing?
Well,
I mean, especially if they're being sold cheaply.
The Fed just can liquefy that on their own, and they have to. They are our monetary system. This isn't the Treasury. This is the Federal Reserve. They're the one. Well, I guess it is the Treasury because they have to tell the Federal Reserve, give these people Federal Reserve notes, give them dollars, and so they liquefy this debt. Well, they were supposed to hold it. The game was for them to hold it, and China's like, yeah, no, we're not going to hold it. Yeah, no, we're going to sell it. And they were hoping that we would, they have sway over us. That's why Trump is like, the Chinese are much more shrewd. They're killing us on every trade. They're killing us with, this is why we don't have a way to grow our economy back. We shipped off all the jobs to other places. Ford is making a new plant down in Mexico. You have to build stuff, make stuff, sell stuff. The engine of growth is manufacturing. What do we have? A bunch of IT guys, and even the iPhone is made in China. I mean, we just got, stupid people running the country, corrupt, stupid people, which is what scares the hell out of the establishment, both Democrats and Republicans, is that Trump will, he'll start making some real business decisions that will benefit regular Americans. And I'm not here stumping for Trump, but this is why they hate him. If you notice, he's been attacked by the left and the right. I mean, he has to tell the Republicans, I'm going to run a third party unless I'm treated fairly. And they, I was listening to Fox anchors go, what does he mean by that? I don't know, Ron Paul. Ron Paul won with Michelle Bachmann in Iowa in 2012, and they didn't even mention his name. He was tied with her.
Yeah.
Remember, what's his name coming on? The architect, what's his face? They had these ballots on a truck. Really? They had the ballots on a truck and they lost the truck? They don't have iPhones and smartphones and computers? Huh? Really? That's what he's talking about. They screwed Ron Paul. Ron Paul had the biggest audiences. He had the youngest group. Part of the reason why they lost is they didn't bring him into the tent. Even if he didn't get the nomination, they should have brought him into the tent. But they don't want to do that. You know, this is the world of John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, where they do a secret trade deal. You know, and what's in it? Well, it's classified. Oh, okay, it's secret. And they got their nemesis, Barack Obama, to sign for it. You know what's bad? When Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren both vote no on it. But that's the problem. The problem is we're going to pay for this. We're going to pay for this. This is coming down to where, you know, they're going to have to announce they're not going to raise rates. Oh, better hold on to your inventory, Melody. Better hold on. Wait a minute. Not only are they not going to raise rates, they may have to do QE4.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually intrigued by your description of Trump, that he's a businessman, and he's and it might be just what this country needs. Most of the people we've been electing, we've elected on an ideological basis. Regardless of whether you're voting for Republicans, you're voting for Democrats, we vote ideology.
Yeah,
and Trump is essentially standing up and saying, to hell with ideology, I want to get something done.
Well, this is why so many Republicans like him, because people are pissed at John Boehner. You know, what does he do? What does John Boehner do before the next Congress is seated in 2014? Votes through Obamacare and funds everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, here's our fail-safe. We won't fund Homeland Security. Brilliant idea, Speaker Boehner. Brilliant. Yeah, yeah. We'll fund Obamacare and his illegal immigration and everything else, but we won't fund Homeland Security. Oh, they won't beat you over the head with that, which they did. Oh, we make sure we do with enough Democrats and enough outgoing congressmen who have been bought off that we can get this passed. Hurry up quick, because he couldn't have got it through the Congress he has now. Yeah, thank you, John Boehner. That's why we voted Republicans into the office. Yeah, thanks, Mitch McConnell. Thanks for the secret trade deal. Thanks, man. That's why Republicans are pissed. I'm not a Republican.
And when you say Republicans, you mean rank and file. You're not talking about Republican congressmen, senators, and candidates for the White House.
They're
talking about the rank and file.
People are like, we didn't send you up to Washington for that. Incidentally, yeah. Hillary Clinton is in big trouble.
Yes, she is.
I got a theory about that. Want to hear it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Hillary Clinton, do you know who released all the tawdry crap about her charity, quote unquote, charity, the Clinton Foundation?
Nope.
You know, the play to pay, the bribery scandal. Do you know who released that?
No.
Obama White House.
Is that right?
You know who released the fact that she had a private server?
Obama White House again?
Bing, 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 bing. He hates her. They hate her. Michelle and Barack Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton hate each other. Hate. Hate. Documented in a book called Blood Feud. Hate. So let's see here now. Let's fast forward to Hillary Clinton becoming the president and controlling the Justice Department, you know, like Barack Obama did with Eric Holder. And let's see. And then Obama is going to be at his house in Hawaii, you know, kind of, you know, being cool and playing basketball and doing his cool ex-president stuff and taking money for speeches. And then, hi, hello, Mr. President. Yeah, this is the Justice Department. We have a warrant for your arrest.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want Hillary at the White
Barack
House.
Obama... Do you think he's going to allow her to become president and let her control the Justice Department? Do you think he's going to take the chance on that?
It's an interesting question, because I remember clearly when Obama was elected in the first place. He said, we're not going to look back. We're going to look forward. And what he meant by that is we aren't going to try anyone in the Bush administration for any crimes. We're not looking backward. He's sitting here. What you're telling me is Hillary gets in, and maybe that's all she does is look backward.
You know how
got grudges
these Clintons are? I mean, this is a well-documented feud in a book called Blood Feud. I can't remember what's his name. Klein, I think his name is. He's got all kinds of juice. I don't know how he has this stuff, but he hasn't been sued by either Obama's or Clinton. But I'm just talking about two big overt things that happened to Hillary Clinton. One of them, which is this email thing. And let me tell you, you know that you're having a bad day when you tune in to Drudge and you're in the ugliest picture of you that they could find, you know, like you just got hit with a bucket of water, and underneath your picture says Hillary, top secret emails found, FBI seizes drivers, DOJ takes possession, satellite images. You think you're having a bad day? Do you think he's going, listen, General Petraeus had a tawdry affair with some hot biographer, and he had a stack of papers in his desk. He got ruined. He almost spent 3 years in jail, and I think he got a couple $100,000 fine. Hillary Clinton had a private server. Her attorney had a thumb drive. These are top secret emails. And if he ever wanted a legitimate reason to hold her head under the water, do you think he's got one?
Yeah, I mean, the surprise, everyone is sitting back and thinking that we're not going to prosecute Hillary.
Oh, yes, they are. They wouldn't be going this
far.
Well,
that'll be the surprise. That'll be the surprise. Most people, a lot of people at least, are cynical enough to say, they're going to let her skate, even though she is obviously guilty.
He released the information. Listen, Trey Gowdy had that information doing the Benghazi thing. He had it. He didn't release it. Why? Because he didn't want to look partisan. He didn't want to look partisan. And why would Obama do it now? Well, this takes a while to percolate. You know, getting the court case going is a while. Then you need
Well, and also you save it. I mean, you save it until you get closer to the next significant election.
Well, I think
that's not uncommon.
Can't save it. He can't dunk her 3 months before the election.
No, I get that.
No,
he doesn't want to do it 2 years before the election either.
He's doing it right now. And when you look at, if you look at the front page of Drudge, holy smokes, she is in trouble. If you just compare her to General Petraeus, holy cow. She's done. I predict that she would not be, for whatever reason, the Democrats wouldn't like her. They get tired of the drip, 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 you know, the scandal. And two of the biggest scandals that she has had to deal with, the reason why she's not talking to reporters is the email scandal. And I'm not talking about Benghazi investigation with Trey Gowdy. I'm talking about her private server. And you got national security people on television saying, oh, our enemy's got all that stuff. I mean, you couldn't have a more critical person in the government.
Yeah.
Secretary of State. They interface with the White House. They interface with the NSA, the CIA, the Pentagon. They interface with Congress and all kinds of security. Well, and she's got a private server? What? And you don't have encryption? What? What? Excuse me? You have what?
Did she release more secrets than Edward Snowden?
She makes Edward Snowden look like a toddler in diapers.
I understand, and he can't get back into the country.
That's correct, but she isn't. This is big. And then she also made all these statements that, you know, remember she said there were no top secret, there were no top secret emails, there were no nothing top secret, there was no, oops, she signed off on a letter saying that there were no emails, that there were no nothing top secret at all.
It leaves us to wonder how many lies has she told over the years. That's one question, because she's not bashful about lying. But we're going to have to leave those questions for another day. Greg, we're out of time. I want to thank Greg Hunter for being on the program. Greg is from USAWatchdog.com. Stop in and visit some of the best interviews on the Internet. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
Money, always funny in a rich